Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Foster Dads. It is an amazing thing to watch foster parents go through this process. They find a kid, they put themselves in the system, qualify, and here comes a child. And one of the trickiest things about the foster system is that if you love kids and you love what you're trying to do, you know when that kid comes in that that kid may be going out. Unless you've said, we're trying to adopt, and you say, I'd like to keep this child, and things work out, which if they do work out for you, they are not working out for someone else. So it's a very bittersweet kind of experience. But to watch these families take in a child and love that child as if it were their own, and yet hold it loosely enough so that when it does get taken away, they don't get knocked down completely. The next category I'd like to cover is the importance of fostering dads. And sometimes what happens in church, ours especially, is that we are so focused on seeing people born again, but born spiritually, and then raising them, discipling them. But what is required to pull that off are some foster dads. It takes some mature, godly men to take on some newborns or immature men who would like to be godly and encourage them in the way. And what can happen is you can get burned out. You can take a kid on, so to speak, and maybe that young person, that older person, wherever they are spiritually, gets in for a while and then they bolt, and it can be a very discouraging thing, not because you weren't unwilling to raise the child, but because the child was not willing to be raised. So it's not all just about we can't find people to disciple. Sometimes it's the people being discipled who don't stick, and then that's hard. And we have to make sure as a church and as a body that we encourage the foster dads, as it were, the men and the women, but today we're going to focus on these guys who are trying to take on these young men and help them down the path. If you would turn to Proverbs 1, and while you're going there, let me read you a definition for foster. To promote the growth or development of, further encourage, to foster, you could be to foster new ideas, to bring up, raise, or rear, to care for, or to cherish. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, I think sometimes if you read your Bible, and obviously we encourage that around here a lot, if you read your Bible, you may be completely overlooking one of the greatest tools on the planet for raising kids. Not just physical kids, but spiritual kids. And something like Proverbs, I'll usually try to read one proverb a day. There's, you know, enough for each day of the month. Some months are short. You know, just read it anyway. If it's a short month, keep going. But you can do a chapter a day and get through the book of Proverbs. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm a very good dad. I don't know if I'm doing a good job at this. Then get some help. And I talked to a number of guys along the way who say, well, I never knew my dad. I didn't have a dad, and he was this or that or didn't show up. You know what? Now listen close. Sooner or later, that cannot be your excuse. I get it. I don't understand it. I had a great dad. But sooner or later, you're going to have to let go of that and grow up and figure out how to do it. If you have your own kids, you say, well, I don't have any kids. I'm off the hook. If you are a believer, you are not off the hook. Because if you're a Christian and you're still on the planet, you've been left here to, if you are a Christian, that's the assumption, to grow up and show up for somebody else. So you say, well, I don't have any kids. Why is that? You should have some kids. People that you either literally lead to Christ and they become Christians, or that you come alongside and almost in foster care. It doesn't mean you have to take them on all by yourself. That's kind of why I like the foster concept, because all of us together, different men with different men, these things get accomplished. Women with other women. It could be that you take someone on for life. That's possible, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. One of the no-brainer places to find information is in the book of Proverbs. Now, if you will start with me in Proverbs 1, and let's do verse 1 and following, and we got a lot of scripture to cover, so just track with me and jump as we go. Look how it starts. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And this is not David writing, but the whole thing starts by saying, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, but he was someone's son. And David did a decent job of raising Solomon. Clearly, they made mistakes, but instead of pounding these people in the Bible for making mistakes, find a mirror and realize you're one of us. So they made mistakes, but they kept moving. They kept raising these kids. So David had a lot of problems, but he got Solomon raised. Solomon, the advantage we have, or disadvantage in a way, is that we can read about his whole life, but he tried. He's a wise man. He didn't always apply everything that he said to his life, but there are some extraordinary principles here. Some of them are just one verse, some of it's sections. So he even starts out here saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Then go down to, let's read a few of those right there. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So look what he's saying. It's about wisdom. It's about discretion. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So when are you communicating this to your boys? You got sons? You thinking about having kids? You got to have some kind of plan. You've got to be pouring something into them. You say, well, they watch my life. I get that. But people, kids need information. They need a lot of stuff, but they need to not just see you do stuff. They need for you to explain it along the way. How does this work? Keep reading. The words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then I'm going to point out a bunch of these that you'll see throughout the first chapters of Proverbs. He addresses specifically here, verse 8, my son. So he's talking to someone. You say, well, it's for everybody. It is. We all use it. But he is writing to a specific boy here. My son, hear the instruction of your father. He's saying, listen to me and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. So he goes with simple stuff. You say, well, this is no brainer. Everybody tells their kids that. They don't. Some fathers never talk to their kids. They're too scared. They're too embarrassed. You say, well, man, I'm a screw up. If he starts asking me questions, I'm out. So we don't say anything. How is that working out for you? How's that working out for your kid? You've got to talk to them. And sometimes the place to start is at whatever age they are, say, look, I'm going to tell you part of my story. I'm not claiming to be all that. You know me now. You know I can make mistakes. I've got anger. I've got whatever. But let me show you. And if you say, well, I don't know how to do this, then sit down with them and read the Bible together. Now, how complicated is that? You just sit down and say, okay, we're going to read Proverbs 1 and we're going to talk through it and say, what does it say? And the one I just read you is so stinking simple. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our house with spoil. In other words, let's go get into some trouble. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. He says, if someone comes and that's kind of, let's go get into some trouble. He says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Stay away from those people. You say, well, everybody knows that. They don't know that. And sometimes kids, especially guys, get pulled in and everybody's doing it. And I don't want to get left out. And, well, are you coming with us? Or, you know, are you too goody two shoes? You know, all these things that kids hear. Help them know how to stand when those moments come. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, starts the whole chapter. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Teach your kids what to do. You say, well, they're not going to do it. How do you know that? And it might be that maybe they don't do it right now, but at least you instill stuff, make deposits in a kid's heart and mind so that one day when they run all their traps, they know how to get home. I go back over and over and over to Luke 15 to the prodigal. Something went off in that kid's brain after he had wasted all of his substance with riotous living, and he gets out there feeding pigs, and the thought that comes to his brain is, I'm going to go home. You have to deposit something in your kid's brain so that they know they can come home. And more importantly, not just get to your house, but get to God himself and say, look, I know this doesn't work. I was raised differently. Let someone care. Let someone help you grow and encourage you. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, again, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For strength of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Look at what the promise is. The stuff I'm telling you, you will live longer because I won't kill you for one thing. But pay attention. It literally affects the quality of your life, the length of your life. Don't do these things. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Starts again the whole chapter. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So what is he talking about? You shook hands, made a deal, said that you would back someone, co-sign basically, and you got yourself in a fix. Practical stuff. Are we teaching our kids this stuff? They say, well, nobody told me. And how did that work out? Help! You have to teach your kids stuff. You have to teach them and show them, though. Simple things like prayer. People don't know how to pray. And how do they learn to pray? They hear you pray. If you never pray, they never hear you pray. They don't know how to pray. It is amazing for me to watch people who hear me pray, pray like I pray. It's terrifying, but it's encouraging. And they use the same little phrases. How many of you pray just like your dad or your grandfather at the dinner table somewhere? Father, make us thankful for these and all our blessings. That's what Rebecca's dad used to pray every time. We learn this stuff somewhere. Look down in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Again, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. He comes back to this recurring theme. Over and over says what can happen. It doesn't turn out well. You say, yeah, but kids are going to do whatever they're going to do. Give a kid an opportunity. Now, they're going to make mistakes, but help by being vulnerable and transparent and saying, look, here are the choices I made when I was your age. Here are the people that I was around. If you don't pick the right friends, if you don't get into scripture, if your dad won't do it, if you don't find some men who are willing to pour into your life, this can go really hard for you. And there's so much of it that can be avoided. Keep reading. Proverbs 31. Usually when you read about women, to women, look at Proverbs 31:1. This is the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And what she said was, what, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys king. So these are the words of King Lemuel he got from his mom in this case, and he's passing on. And it's not like we don't have a room full of experts that know how much trouble you can get in living the wrong way. And what you turn on your TV and the movies and all that, you go, oh, they're having a big time. Let me tell you what, their big time ends up in my office. When all hell finally breaks loose and the pregnancy test comes back positive and the STDs show up, and turns out the guy's married or the girl's married and the wife finds out, it's not funny anymore. It's not even fun anymore. It's chaos. It's catastrophic. It destroys families' lives. It's not good. So what have you got to observe to go, you know what? I think that didn't work out well for them. I'll step back. I don't need to go down that road. And if you can't do it by yourself, then get some help. Why do you think Jesus implemented this discipleship thing? He did not show up. Now listen to me close. How hard would it be, forget 33 years coming down here, just drop in for a weekend, say, hey guys, I'm here, I'm gonna die today, be buried, raised from the dead, and I'm out. And by the way, I brought a printed copy of the scriptures, the New Testament. Here's a, you know, number one, edition one, here it is. Be very careful, copy it wisely and distribute it, and I'm out of here. What did he do? He showed up, born like us, has to live, grow, be raised by a dad, impart everything that he imparted to these 12 knuckleheads, and then leave it all in their hands, and everything's dependent on that. He must have done something extraordinary. He showed us how to do it. That's how you do it. And it takes time. It took 3 years, almost night and day, to take those guys through it, and a bunch of them ditched. You say, well, I want to get in the game. It's not a game. It's life and death. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to have all your teeth. You got to have ears to hear and a heart that is open and say, God, here are my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my mind, my soul, my body, my will, my emotions from head to toe, sexual organs, everything I got, God. I yield it all to you. Live in me and live through me and change the world. And why can't he do that? That's all he had when he was here. Bunch of guys who signed up, followed him. Follow him. But I promise you, if you follow him, you will not end up somewhere by yourself. You'll end up surrounded with people who are growing because they're listening and learning from you. All right, is it making sense so far? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And the last little category here is actual, not fostering dads, men who will do these things, but spiritual foster dads. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. These are people who are willing to spiritually and practically help raise reborns along the way. And doesn't necessarily mean newborns. They could be reborns, people who have been born spiritually and no one has helped them. And all of a sudden you pick them up where they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's jump down for the sake of time. Nah, you can't jump down on this one. Okay, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. And then jump down there to verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me, or you may have the word follow me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Now, this is a very interesting thing here that he describes. If you have been there when someone became a Christian, you were there, you helped them. In a way, you are their spiritual father, as it were. And you say, wow, that's cool. I was there when that baby was born. Here's the disconnect. Some people get so excited about, oh my gosh, someone became a Christian with me. Then they kind of abandon that child. Maybe not intentionally, just you don't know what to do. It's great that you can lead someone to Christ, but that is just the beginning. Then you have to raise them. You say, well, I don't live in the same town. I can't do that. Then you have to make arrangements and provision or that kid will be abandoned, not in foster care even, just orphaned. You say, well, God's going to take care of them. Don't make it so hard on God anymore. Connect them with people. So he talks of himself here, though you have 10,000 instructors, in other words, you may have 10,000 foster dads around you, I have a unique responsibility because I am the one that basically fathered you, deposited the seed in your life, and you became a Christian through the gospel. And so he says, follow me. You have to be a foster dad, something going on to be able to say that to someone. Could someone literally follow you around most of the time and it be okay? And watch everything you do, how you live, explain how you're thinking, everything about that. Somehow that's what was going on here. And that's an extraordinary place to be. 1 Thessalonians 2, last one, and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, it's so hard just to jump in here. Shoot. All right, let's don't jump in. We'll just go verse 1. First, this Paul again writing to this church at Thessalonica. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. In other words, we didn't come saying, oh, it's really all about money. nor did we seek glory from man, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But look at how he describes what they did. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Love this picture. If you've ever seen a mom nursing a baby, it's the most tender, gentle thing. So on one hand, he's saying, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Sooner or later, you're going to get connected to people. And this is part of the reason why people want to retire and go hide someplace. Because there's nobody can get in your business. Nobody can get to you. And oh my gosh, now I have to care about another person. That shouldn't be your problem. You meet someone, you go, oh, wow, God sent this person to my life. It's game on. It could be a day. It could be the rest of your life. But if God is living in you and through you the way he wants to, this is how it's going to end up. It's not that we were pleased to impart to you not the gospel only, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Do you have people who are dear to you like this? Not your own family, outside of your family, that you literally would die for. One thing to give someone the gospel. It's another thing to give someone your very life. And here's what's cool about Jesus. He didn't just come down here talking. They strapped him to a cross, nails in his hands and his feet, got him a crown, stick him in the side, would beat the you know what out of him, and that ain't talking anymore. That's doing the deal, dying. So when Jesus says he loves you, those are not just words. He shed blood to prove that he loves you for real and literally died for you. And that's what I keep saying to people. The thing that messes me up about being a Christian, and that no other religion on the planet has, no other religion, no other leader, no other religious person ever claimed to die and have the authority to do it, where it changed the world. And Jesus dies and everything is different. Keep reading with me. Just a few more lines here. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed. As you know, how we exhorted, and look at these are the words I'm after, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So what is my job as a foster dad, trying to cherish and encourage and challenge? Very simply laid out here. We exhorted, we comforted, and charged like a father, and the assumption is that's what a father would do. In the NIV, it uses words encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. And in the Message, this is how it says, you experienced it firsthand. With each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his own kingdom and into this delightful life.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, I started out saying, if you didn't have a good experience with a dad, you've got to get beyond that and say, okay, God, I draw a line. I can't change that. I can't fix that. I can forgive my dad and cut him loose and honor him and respecting him. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. But from today forward, I am going to grow up and step up and take responsibility for my life and acknowledge what I don't know and find out what I need to learn. And if it's retroactively, try to go back to my own kids and apologize and make amends and move forward and try to deposit things in them as I learn them myself, I'll do that. Or it may just be that you're to the place where you're surrounded with guys who need help and they're not getting it because you're not showing up. This is so stinking simple, it's ridiculous. and you're surrounded with men and women and boys and girls who are going, why is there nowhere? One of the toughest places that we have going on right now is not even in this room. It's finding people who will go upstairs with the kids. And you say, well, they're just little kids. They don't get anything. First word I ever said was Jesus, and it wasn't just my mom and dad. It was an old man named Robert Worth standing like this by my crib. And there's pictures of all the little kids, one-year-old, standing up holding the crib, and Robert Worth in there reading the Bible to a bunch of one-year-olds. And he was a chicken farmer, could barely read, not the smartest guy, but he was in there, and you know what? I heard him. You don't know what the Holy Spirit can do, even when you can't understand what you're hearing. So pay attention.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.